it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, in this Lenten season, we've been talking about the communion and comparing our modern communion with the Jewish Passover, which is what the celebration of the Last Supper was. And today, being Palm Sunday, it's not going to be any different. Historically speaking, Jesus went to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to celebrate Passover, because that's what they did. They celebrated Passover, and he was going to Jerusalem to do that. Tomorrow is the first day of Passover. I'm not exactly sure how it is they determine when Easter is going to be, but it's always around Passover. They're always about together. But our scripture lesson is the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to you, to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus said to them, Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Excuse me one moment, please. I'm having a little allergy problem. It's almost over, though. The crowds were shouting Hosanna. We oftentimes look at that today as a term of praise. But what the word Hosanna means is save us. They were shouting save us as they were welcoming Jesus into the city. This is often what's referred to as the triumphant entry or the triumphal entry. Now, triumphal entry is an event that occurs in history oftentimes when a king or emperor conquers a city. He enters into the city and they have this event, a parade, called a triumphal entry. And that's what's going on here. Jesus has entered triumphantly and people are still shouting to him, "Save us." And aren't we still doing that today? Now, if we compare this to the Passover of the Old Testament in the book of Exodus with Moses, he wasn't really welcomed that much by the people of Israel, at least not at first. You see, the people of Israel were in bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. And the story, as we see in the book of Exodus and as we have seen portrayed in great films like the Ten Commandments, it was hard for them. It was hard labor and things were bad. It's not good to be a slave. And the people of Israel were thinking, as Jesus was coming in, that he was coming to set them free from the bonds of slavery to Rome. Because at this time in history, Israel was a part of the Roman Empire, and they longed to be a free nation, as many nations in the Roman Empire longed to be. They wanted to be free, and that's what they thought he was come to do. That's what they expected from their Messiah, was a political freedom. But he didn't just come to set them free. He came to set them free, certainly, but he came to set everyone free, not from the oppression of Rome, but from the oppression of sin in our lives. As he was sharing his Last Supper, a Passover meal, with his disciples, he referred to the wine as his blood, shed to set them free from sin. It's hard sometimes to understand that freedom. I mean, we're still shouting today, Hosanna. In churches all across the country, people are singing Hosanna hymns, sometimes not even understanding what Hosanna means. They're thinking that it's, you know, praise God, but it's save us. You see, the people of Israel, under the bondage of Rome, knew that they needed to be set free. Rome was oppressing them. I'm not sure in every way, but imagine if you lived in a country that was being ruled by another country, and you didn't have any freedom in your government. You didn't have the freedoms that we have today. You'd be willing to shout, "Save me, help me." And that's what he came to do, was to save them, but not in the way that they were expecting. You see, we can understand today because we can look back. They didn't have that same past to look to because it was happening for them then. They were going to be delivered from the slavery of sin. Now, that's not to say that they're not still going to give in to it. I mean, hopefully we have all taken the opportunity at some point in our lives to cry out to God, "Save me." And quite honestly, we're almost always being saved from ourselves. You have the illustration of the man who, a man of wealth, a man of means, has a big house and he buys a security system and he puts up a fence and he's got dogs out in the yard running around to protect him and he's got guns in the house and the security system and possibly even hires men to watch his house for him. But who is going to protect him from himself? He's protected certainly from thieves and burglars, but who's going to protect him from himself? We all of us sin. We all fall short. Every one of us. Probably every day. I'm pretty sure I screw up most days getting out of bed. But the freedom from sin is not the fact that we're not going to sin, because we are. The freedom we have is from some of the consequences of sin. Not all of them, but some of them. If we are repentant and if we turn away from our sin, that's what repent means. It means turn around and go the other way. God forgives our sin. He takes that debt from us. The trick is in that repentance. The trick is in that turning around and going the other way. Because sometimes when we turn from sin, we turn 360 degrees instead of 180. We need to know when to stop turning. And we need to go the other way. Which is, of course, not to say that we're not going to get turned around again, because we make mistakes. We're human. It's in our nature. It's okay to feel bad about our sin. In fact, I think that's important, because that's part of what brings us to repentance, is the understanding that we've done something wrong, and our understanding and our need to cry out to God, "Save me, save me." When I was much younger, I had that day for me. I was 16 years old. I grew up in a Methodist church. My parents dragged me to church every Sunday, whether I wanted to go or not. I was there. And I had questions, and I asked them, and a lot of my questions went unanswered. There weren't too many people who were particularly interested in answering the questions I had, or the answers that they had for me were not satisfactory. I didn't think they were sufficient, so I looked in other places for answers. I found them. I found answers. Wrong answers, but answers still. And I changed. I became angry most of the time. I was unpleasant to be around. And fortunately, I had friends who cared enough about me to find out what was wrong. And I explained it to them. I told them I had nothing to be ashamed of, I thought. I told them what was going on in my life. And they said, "Well, how about if we go bowling on Saturday night? We're going to take you bowling." These were my Christian friends. Decided, "We're going to take you bowling." Well, you know what? Those Christian friends of mine lied to me. We did not go bowling. They took me to a rally at the Christian Youth Crusade. And I really wish I could remember the name of the evangelist who was standing up there talking, because he answered every one of my questions without me asking them again. And this time they were the right answers. And I just knew. And on that night, on that very night, it was October 22nd, 1982, I cried out, "Save me." I cried out for help, because I knew God was the only one that could help me. I couldn't do it on my own. Just like the children of Israel in ancient Egypt could not free themselves, because there was the huge machine of the Egyptian army standing behind them. We cannot free ourselves from sin, because we've got the huge machine of sin standing behind us. Somebody asked me the very simple question once, "Why is it we sin?" And I thought about it for a minute, and I told him, "Well, because it's fun." Sin wasn't fun. If we didn't think sin was a good idea, we wouldn't do it. Well, maybe not a good idea, because it's not a good idea. But we do it. It must be fun. We must gain some kind of pleasure from it. But my pleasure now is in the Lord, in serving Him. For those of you who don't know, I'm not having a good time standing here. I don't like talking in front of people. I'm a terrible public speaker. couple of years ago, my supervisor at the bank where I work in the day asked me to make a presentation on something. And I got up and I gave the presentation, and afterwards everybody left and she took me aside and she said, "You know, I heard someplace that you're a minister. Somebody said you're a minister." I said, "Yeah." She said, "So you preach in a church?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Every Sunday?" "Yeah." "Does anyone ever come back a second time? Because your presentation was horrible." I stuttered and I ummed and awed. And I told her, just let me stand up in front of the same crowd of people and tell them about Jesus. It'll be different. Unfortunately, she wouldn't let me do that. Terrible public speaker. But it's with God's help. Just as he has freed me from the bonds of sin, he guides me and he leads me in the things he wants me to do. And I believe that he wants me to be here because his hand is upon me. It's the only way I can stand here and talk in front of you. Robin said she likes to hear me preach because every time I do, it's a miracle. We struggle with sin. Just as last week I told you, I was struggling with sin in my life. You know, you may not, for those of you who weren't here for it, I don't want to shock anybody, but I'm overweight because I overeat, which is a sin. And I'm struggling against that. Last week I got, Monday morning I weighed myself. I'm going to tell you, I was 281.6 pounds. I know my doctor wants me to weigh 160 pounds, which I think is ridiculous. But I've been struggling, and I told you last week that this was my struggle, and I'm really going to start taking this struggle more seriously. And I have been struggling with eating, and a lot of times not eating when I just felt like it, only eating when I'm hungry. I'm exercising a little more, and I managed to lose 3.5 pounds this week. And that's a start. I'm still tempted and I'm still struggling, but you know what? God's on my side and he's helping me overcome. I'm still not going to turn away from miraculous weight loss if that happens. I'll accept that. I don't know anybody who's ever, if anybody has ever heard of the miracle of weight loss, let me know. I haven't heard of that one yet, but I'll continue to struggle because our struggle with sin, we still struggle with sin. Even though there are miraculous healings from sin. We knew a man once who, he had a drug habit that was just ridiculous. He was on $1,000 a day habit. Now, you don't make $1,000 a day. You steal it. I don't know what all drugs he was on, but $1,000, he had to come up with $1,000 a day, and he made it committing crimes, and eventually he got caught. Cocaine. And eventually he got caught, and that's good. Now, with a cocaine addiction, when you stop taking it, like you end up doing when you're in jail and you can't get it anymore, there's all kinds of problems. Well, he wound up in jail, and he had been raised in the church, and he turned around and he shouted, "Hosanna, save me." And he went from having that addiction to having none at all and no problems from withdrawal. He never desired drugs again. He never desired that sin again. Hallelujah. But he struggled with others, just as we all struggle. And it's okay that we struggle, because that means we've still got some fight in us. And when we don't, it's okay to ask for it, because we need to struggle. We need to fight. I've spoken before about the old Bible verse in the book of Hezekiah where it says that God helps those who help themselves. There's no book of Hezekiah. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. God helps us. Sometimes we need to help him help us. Or at the very least, make it not so difficult for him to help us. On our way here today, we were following a little car that had something wrong with the bottom of it. Something was wrong underneath. There was something big flapping up and down underneath this car. It looked like the bottom was going to fall out of it. So I was like, flashing my lights at the guy to turn over, to pull over. Because if you're driving down the street and there's something big flapping underneath your car, you want to know about it. It looked like something was going to fall off. And the guy pulls over, and I'm trying to figure out where to pull over next to him. And I got pulled over and opened the door to go say something to him, and he pulled out. I don't know if he thought, I don't know what he was thinking, but sometimes it's hard to help people, is my point. Sometimes people don't know that they need help. Sometimes we don't know that we need help. And sometimes it's hard to help. We need to stop fighting against God when he's trying to help us. See, he points these problems out to us. And it's not so much a problem. It's not so much an issue of us helping ourselves, but it's an issue of us not fighting against God. Again, in my attempts to stop overeating, I find myself praying more because I'm not hungry during the day, but I want to eat. I find myself more and more praying, God, please take this away from me. Please take this from me. But the temptation is still always there. Those great big Kit Kat bars in the vending machine are always there. That temptation. Lord, please take this from me. Hosanna, save us. The people of Israel, as Jesus was coming through Jerusalem, were shouting Hosanna. Just as we have at times in our lives shouted, save me. Can we do that today as we approach Easter, as we're going into Holy Week? Are we still shouting Hosanna, or are we wondering who this is? Amen. This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org. Benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And it's kind of funny, as I was talking about the communion and thinking about the fact that we keep shouting Hosanna and we keep needing Jesus to save you, I just suddenly struck me, how many times did Lois Lane need to be saved by Superman? Every time. You know what? That's nothing compared to how many times Jesus has had to save me. He's the real superhero around here, isn't he? The good word is Hosanna. He'll always answer. He'll always answer. The service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.